The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Lily Defo
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, 9-member Supreme Court panel to hear legal arguments of petitioners and respondents in oral addresses in 2012 election petition. Ghana Armed Forces and security agencies on nationwide route march in readiness for Supreme Court verdict. National Forum on Sustainability of Single Spine Pay Policy ends today. DVLA to test mental health condition of prospective drivers and fire at Nairobi Airport. First, a summary with Doreen Ampofu.
Counsel for the petitioners and respondents say they are ready to give their oral addresses on the 2012 election petition today as the Supreme Court resumes sitting on the petition. Each of the parties will be allotted 30 minutes within which to clarify their written addresses. The Ghana Armed Forces and other security services are this morning conducting a nationwide show of flag route march throughout the country. The purpose is to assure the public of their preparedness to ensure peace in the country during and after the Supreme Court's verdict. The DVLA may soon test the mental health condition of prospective drivers. The acting chief executive of the authority, Rudolph Beckley, said the idea is to promote high standards in driving and ensure drivers operate in the right frame of mind. He said this when the Committee on Roads and Transport paid a working visit to the offices of the DVLA. And fire has gutted part of the Jomo Kenyatta International Airport in Nairobi. Authorities say passengers have been evacuated from those sections. There have been no reports of casualties and the cause of the fire is not clear.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news now in detail. Counsel for the petitioners and respondents say they are ready to give their oral addresses today as the Supreme Court resumes sitting on the 2012 election petition. The oral addresses will offer counsel the opportunity to make clarifications and necessary additions to their written addresses, which they had earlier filed with the court. Each of the parties will have to make their uninterrupted submissions in 30 minutes. Bubu Klinogo, our correspondent at the court, brings us this preview.
The oral presentation is an opportunity for counsel to showcase their oratory and advocacy skills, which they will attempt to use to persuade the 9 justices to sway to their side. The petitioners are expected to highlight the key alleged violations, which they claim affected the result. They are also likely to cite a number of authorities, constitutional and statutory provisions to back their claims and ask the court to declare that President John Mahama was not validly elected and that it was Nana Akufo-Addo who was the legitimate winner of the election. For their part, all the 3 respondents are likely to be unanimous in calling on the court to dismiss the petition for lack of merit. The respondents are expected to argue that the 2012 election was by far the most free, credible and transparent in the history of Ghana. They will again argue that no election anywhere can be absolutely free of challenges and hitches here and there, and that the irregularities that occurred in December were mere errors that did not affect the outcome of the election. They will conclude by praying the court to uphold the declaration of President John Mahama as the outright winner of the election. Ahead of the presentations, Radio Ghana spoke to the spokesperson of the NDC legal team, Victor Kojoga Adaudu.
We have been ready ever since when we started this. We said yes, we were going in and we were battle ready. What exactly we have to do is that the address has already been filed. What we need to do is to just give a gist of the address, the law, the evidence, the fact has been put before the court. We give summary of it, then we give the interpretation we understand as to what is irregularity, what is omission.
Right, each of you will have 30 minutes to speak. Looking at the volume of document that you have filed, do you think that 30 minutes is enough time for you to bring out all the key issues in your address?
30 minutes is enough because they would also read the address. If the issues which are germane, I think the other issues are consequential issues, whether the law defines it as irregularities or not, and what are the answers. I think 30 minutes is enough.
There is also an issue about the order of presentation. We are not too sure who will address the court first.
The court will decide. The court has some discretion. We have seen difficulty in this case is because when it comes to election matters, it has a special dispensation. It is not a normal civil proceeding where we will have to stick rigidly to the rules. So you see the court has to balance some interests and issues, and this is how we are seeing election petition.
Mike Okwe Jr. also speaks for the legal team of the petitioners.
The petitioners are as ready as they could be. Let's remember that the addresses is just going to contain additions, mainly pointing out anything extra that may not have been captured, and also emphasizing some of the highlights that are in the address for the judges to take particular note of.
The petitioners have already filed about 160-page written address. Do you think that 30 minutes is enough for you to point out the key issues in the written one?
Oh yes, very much so, because that's the whole essence of a presse. You don't need 3 hours to read through the whole thing in court. What you just want to do is to draw the attention of the judges to highlight the particular areas that you want them to look at and to draw the conclusions thereof.
Yeah, in times past, the petitioners have sought to request the use of PowerPoint presentation. Is that something you're going to push for again?
Oh, well, since PowerPoint was not allowed in the examination in chief, the cross-examination, the re-examination, I wouldn't suppose that will be allowed in this instance. But the next thing, and that is what lots of people are looking forward to, is the arrangement. Who speaks first, the respondents or the petitioners?
So which one are you going for, the petitioner? Would you want to speak first?
Ideally, we would want all three of them to speak first.
For now, all roads lead to the Supreme Court.
Bubu Klinogo, our correspondent at the Supreme Court election petition hearing on the 2012 presidential election, with that preview.
The Ministry of Health has called on health facilities and corporate organizations to provide crutches at their workplaces to facilitate mother-baby contact during working hours. This is the surest way to ensure that breastfeeding mothers are productive at work and are able to practice the 6-month exclusive schedule. The sector minister, Sherry Aiti, made the call in a message at the launch of this year's World Breastfeeding Week in Accra. She noted that a survey conducted in 2011 shows that the rate of exclusive breastfeeding in Ghana has declined from 63% to 43.7%. Thus, all must get involved to create the awareness on exclusive breastfeeding. We bring you more on this report by Victoria Ahaji.
World Breastfeeding Week is celebrated every year in more than 120 countries to promote the practice of breastfeeding as a single most cost-effective intervention for child survival and development. The Health Minister, Sherry Aiti, noted that the decline in breastfeeding is linked to the use of artificial infant foods and the good marketing strategies of the manufacturers. She said her ministry and the Ghana Health Service are committed to promoting optimal breastfeeding and complementary feeding practices. Madame Aiti entreated Ghanaians to play a watchdog role and bring manufacturers who violate Ghana's breastfeeding promotion regulations 2000 to the notice of the Food and Drugs Authority to be dealt with. She was represented by the Director General of the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Ebenezer Apiadentura.
I wish to urge all of you to provide the needed support for us women to give their infants the best start in life. Ghana's breastfeeding promotion regulation 2000 is derived from the International Code on Marketing of Breast Milk Subsidies. Although it has succeeded in reducing the pressure on women to use infant formula when this is not necessary, there are still attempts by manufacturers and distributors to violate this law. I wish to entreat the Ghanaian public to play the watchdog role and bring such practices to the notice of the Food and Drug Authority, which should not hesitate in applying the necessary sanctions.
The Greater Accra Regional Director of Ghana Health Service, Dr. Linda Van Otu, noted that this year's celebration is important because of the current falling trend in exclusive breastfeeding in Ghana. She believes that if mothers are supported by their husbands, siblings and society, the situation will be reversed.
At the service, we try to support mothers to a successful start with breastfeeding. This needs to be complemented with support from their home and other sectors of society, including their husbands and other members of the family. I wish to urge that we join forces to ensure that no child is denied the invaluable benefits of optimal breastfeeding. We can do this by ensuring that breastfeeding issues issues remain high on our national agenda.
The chief executive of Salt and Light Ministries, Dr. Joyce Ayi, who chaired the function, called on government to look at the Maternity Protection Convention 183, which provides for a minimum of 14 weeks maternity leave with pay.
A report by Victoria Ahaji.
The Upper West Regional Directorate of Health has constituted a 234-member team to execute the measles rubella campaign in the region, slated for the 11th to the 20th of next month. The team members, made up of vaccinators, volunteers and supervisors, are expected to vaccinate about 312,000 children in the region to forestall the occurrence of the childhood killer disease. Meanwhile, the region has in the middle of this year recorded 7 confirmed cases of measles out of suspected cases of 56, as against 18 last year. The regional disease control officer, Mrs. Justina Zoya, announced this during a meeting organized for stakeholders and the Regional Epidemic Management Committee at WA. We bring you a report by William Osubwatin.
The meeting brought together media practitioners, selected personnel of the security services, and representatives of civil society organizations. The rationale was to sensitize them to how best they could play their respective role towards the elimination of measles and other contagious diseases. The Regional Disease Control Officer, Mrs. Justina Zoya, said Ghana has entered the measles elimination phase but is now grappling with evidence of congenital rubella syndrome, whose symptoms are similar to that of measles. She said available laboratory data and surveillance show 20 to 40% of negative measles cases test positive for rubella, hence the introduction of the rubella-containing vaccine. Thus, Mrs. Zoya indicated, will help reduce the number of persons with measles, as well as facilitate the country's attainment of MDG4 in 2015. She said the Regional Directorate of Health has put the needed mechanisms in place to make health professionals remain equal to the task of controlling the disease through capacity building and the strengthening of routine immunization. The Regional Disease Control Officer entreated the participants to play effective roles to ensure the prevention of needless morbidity and mortality caused by the rubella virus. Some participants suggested to the disease control team to always ensure their sensitization messages are designed in the local languages for easy understanding by the target audience.
A report by William Osubwatin.
The mental health condition of prospective drivers might soon be part of tests conducted by the Driver and Vehicle Licensing Authority, DVLA. The acting chief executive of DVLA, Rudolph Beckley, said this when the Committee on Roads and Transport paid a working visit to their offices. He said the idea is to promote high standards in driving and ensure drivers operate in the right frame of mind. Mr. Beckley told the committee that due to the computerization of the processes at the DVLA, it is living up to its mandate. Augustus Akwi was with the team.
The Driver and Vehicle Licensing Authority was required under DVLA Act 1999, Act 569, to promote good driving standards and ensure that only roadworthy vehicles ply the roads. The acting chief executive, Rudolph Beckley, said the computer-based driving test, which was rolled out recently, has begun to yield dividends.
Any applicant who is desirous of acquiring a driver's license must go through 3 kinds of tests, one of which is a medical test to assess the person's medical background, his vision, his epileptic condition. If the brain is not functioning that well to be able to comprehend the issue and form judgment, then it means that you are putting yourself and other residents in a great risk. And that is why we are teaming up with a psychiatric hospital, especially with a medical report, to indicate that before we proceed on any licensing, we must know your medical history. So that if the history tells that no, you are not eligible to use the road or to perform any function that will put a little bit of stress on your system, then we advise ourselves accordingly. Second type of test is what we call the theory test, where you'll be put into an exam condition to assess your knowledge of road rules. And if you pass, the system quickly gives you a pass on the screen. If you fail, you know it there and then certificate will be printed for you. So therefore, it reduces fraud, it reduces impersonation, it reduces influences by examiners who will not examine you properly and then give you out this license. We are now drawing some level of sanity into the whole system.
He said the introduction of a payment verification system at the authority has almost eliminated the faking of DVLA receipts by middlemen, popularly called Guru Boys. On the issue of fake licenses, he advised people to use the appropriate channels in acquiring genuine licenses. Mr. Beckley mentioned DVLA's inability to regularize the employment of more than half of its staff as a major challenge. The members of the Committee on Roads and Transport of Parliament charged the DVLA to strive to expedite the transactions involved in registering vehicles as well as conducting the driver's test in the local languages. The committee members were later taken to a private vehicle testing center at Oibi in the Greater Accra region, Bensam Auto Services Limited, to know at first hand the level of private sector participation in ensuring cars in the country are in proper condition before drivers are permitted to use them.
Augustus Akwesa out that report.
A $30 million biolabicide factory to be built at Savalugu in the northern region has been unveiled in Accra. It will help eliminate malaria and also produce a biofertilizer for the country and the sub-region. The Minister of Health, Sherry Aite, called for effective collaboration among ECOWAS countries to eliminate malaria. This is because the fight against malaria is a complex one. Madam Aite said this when she unveiled the project at an ECOWAS town hall meeting in Accra. Sevilla reports.
Biolarvicide is a living microorganism that attacks and kills the larvae of mosquitoes, which causes malaria. The construction of the biolarvicide factory comes at a time Ghana is said to spend about 2 billion cedis annually on malaria control and prevention. Biolarviciding forms part of a comprehensive effort by the government and the ECOWAS Commission to eliminate malaria in Ghana and West Africa as a whole. Plans are also far advanced to build two more biolarvicide factories in Cote d'Ivoire and Nigeria. Madam Aite, who stood in for President John Mahama, said, though Ghana has chalked up successes in malaria prevention and control, malaria is still a major challenge. She said the biolarvicide factory will not only help in eliminating malaria, but will also produce biofertilizer and biopesticides to enhance food security.
Malaria control, we must admit, is a complex problem that we have often thought of and the need for expanding the scope of our interventions cannot be overemphasized. We need to work towards a concerted strategy to not just control, but to drastically reduce and eventually eliminate malaria.
And that was the Minister of Health, Madam Sherry Aite.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. 9-member Supreme Court panel to hear legal arguments of petitioners and respondents in oral addresses in 2012 election petition. DVLA to test mental health condition of prospective drivers. And still ahead, Ghana Armed Forces and Security Agencies on nationwide route march in readiness for Supreme Court verdict. National Forum on Sustainability on Single Spine Pay Policy ends today, and fire at Nairobi Airport.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. The Ghana Armed Forces and other security services are this morning conducting a nationwide route march dubbed Show of Flag throughout the country. A statement from the Armed Forces headquarters said the purpose is to assure the public of the preparedness of the security services to ensure peace in the country during and after the Supreme Court verdict on the 2012 election petition. Priscilla Uswansa is part of the route march.
If you can hear me now, I'm at the Elwax Sports Stadium. Today, the major security agencies in Ghana are going on a route march. I hear it's in connection with peace as to the Supreme Court verdict. At the moment, the majority group here are the Ghana Armed Forces. They are still gathering. I can see the Ghana Fire Service, the Ghana Police Service, and the Navy.
So which routes are you going to use?
We are beginning through 37 military hospital, that is the 37 military route, through Accra Girls, Kanda. Those are the routes we are going to go through now.
Have you been talking to any of them and what have they been saying?
Yes, they are all saying this root mud is in connection with peace. They are showing their support for peace before and after the verdict of the Supreme Court verdict. So they are still arranging themselves to move up. They are gathering and they are singing songs. They are cheering in their local Jama. I hear in the background. There are a lot of ambulance vehicles around here. And the armor cars have also been released. There are a whole package here at this moment. And already traffic has begun through the street.
And that was our reporter, Priscilla Usuansa, who is joining the security services in a road march this morning.
Government is poised to break the civilian military barrier which exists in the country. The Minister of Defense, Marco Yongo, says gone are the days where civilians could not express their views on military issues. He says when this barrier is broken and relations properly bridged, civilian-military relations will aid in national peace building. Lutero Yongo was addressing students from the United Kingdom and USA on an international air cadet exchange program in Accra. He said government has realized how important the cadet corps is to the development of the country and has set up a coordinating desk at the Ministry of Youth and Sports to oversee the administration of the cadet corps. Mr. Oyongo said government places high priority on the nurturing of the country's human capital and grooming of new generation of leaders. George School, starting for Radio Ghana.
Since its establishment in 1954 at the Ghana Secondary Technical School GSTS in Takoradi, the Ghana Cadet Corps has grown from a small school cadet corps to assume a national status. Currently, there are cadet corps in about 223 schools with a membership strength of about 23,000. The Defense Minister, Marco Oyongo, noted that the formation of cadet corps in various schools is an essential part of efforts to break the civilian military barrier and also provide a total learning experience for members. The minister said the exchange program will enable members of the cadet corps to share ideas and to learn about different cultures and traditions.
Until recently, civil military relations were not the best. A lot of our people, especially those in the rural areas, saw the military uniform as a symbol of oppression, and over the years we try to improve on these relations. I have no doubt that the friendship you are making during your visit to Ghana will last a lifetime. Internationally, the National Cadet Corps has developed close partnerships with its counterparts in several countries.
And that was the Minister of Health, Mark Oyongo, in that report by Georgette Cole.
Various syndicate groups at the Forum on the Sustainability of the Single Spine Pay Policy in WHO will this morning present their reports to the Chairman P.V. Obeng as the Forum enters day two today. The reports will then be harmonized into a document for national use. Our correspondent Cecil Obodai Wentum explains further what went into the syndicate work. He spoke to Baba Utu.
As you're all aware, in May this year, His Excellency the President of the Republic charged the Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations to set up a national stakeholder forum or arrangement to address the challenges facing the single spine pay policy. And so this call has been long overdue, but it happened, yesterday. It started yesterday, and all identifiable groups were put together from media, academia, civil society, judiciary, executive, legislature, and other identifiable groups were put together to brainstorm and see how we can cross the T's and then dot the I's regarding the single spine pay policy. So when he left yesterday after his keynote address, the various groups were put together for the whole exercise to start. And so the whole thing moved into what they call the syndicate work exercises. And there was one syndicate group taking care of public sector wage policy as a component of sustainable national economic policy. And there was another group talking about market premium determination and coverage, inducements and other allowances, all right? And then there's another one talking about how to link pay to work and productivity. And also another group talking about ensuring salaries and wage equity in the public service for Article 71 office holders and the way forward. There was another group also talking about managing industrial defenses, current status and way forward. And the fifth group was on freedom of association and issuance of collective bargaining certificates.
Correspondent at the forum on the sustainability of the single spine pay policy underway in Hosesoni Obodai went to. Meanwhile, a communique will be issued at the end of the forum.
And still on the forum, Secretary General of the TUC, Kofi Asamoah, has described the forum as fruitful. He told Agatha Asamoah on Behind the News that the forum has helped iron out some perceptions organized labor harbored about the policy. He said the forum has opened a new page for further deliberations on the way forward for its implementation.
Very insightful issues have come up. We are collectively looking at how to ensure the sustainability of the wage bill. Thank God we all agree, from the president to all of us, that the way out is not to scrap the single spine salary structure. Indeed, to us as labor, we still believe that there is no option at all. We need to look at the implementation challenges and address them. So I think it's been quite a useful exercise. We are coming out with various proposals which, when implemented, will help to really clean the payroll and also show an efficient management of the wage bill.
So briefly, what does the TUC expect from the forum?
Generally, now that we have all agreed that there is no option to the single spine, the way forward is that we make it more efficient and ensure that the stated objectives that were made for the single spine is achieved.
Secretary General of the TUC, Kofi Asamoah.
Six Nigerians are standing trial at an Accra Circuit Court for defrauding a Czech citizen of $11,500 and €300,000. The suspects lured the victim into believing that they could help him buy gold in Ghana if he parted with various sums of money. The court, presided over by Seyram Tatu Azuma, remanded them in custody. The suspects had in their possession forged documents which they used to entice the victim. One of them, Alex, who posed as a lawyer, had in his possession a Ghana Bar Association certificate bearing the name Ni Kote Ashi and a document with the coat of arms and office of the president embossed on it. He also had a Ministry of External Affairs receipt with a face value of $8,700, UN Security Department appointment permit, a UN money laundering certificate, IRS tax clearance certificate, and a National Security Service and non-inspection movement certificate. The police also retrieved a lot of SIM cards and a laptop with a soft copy of Ecobank International certificate in their room. The police are making efforts to arrest the seventh suspect, who is at large.
In international news, a fire has gutted the main international airport in Nairobi. The Kenyan airport authorities said passengers have been evacuated from a section of the Jomo Kenyatta International Airport. Images posted on social website Twitter showed smoke and flames billowing from one of the main buildings. There have been no reports of casualties, and the cause of the fire is not clear.
To answer the news, the main points again. Counsel for the petitioners and respondents say they are ready to give their oral addresses on the 2012 election petition today as the Supreme Court resumes sitting. Each of the parties will be allotted 30 minutes within which to clarify their written addresses. The Ghana Armed Forces and other security services are this morning conducting a nationwide show of flag route march throughout the country. The purpose is to assure the public of their preparedness to ensure peace in the country during and after the Supreme Court's verdict. And the DVLA may soon test the mental health condition of prospective drivers. The acting chief executive of the authority, Rudolph Beckley,
said the idea is to promote high standards in driving and ensure drivers operate in the right frame of mind. The news was presented by Doreen Ampofu
and Lily Defo.